Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a podcast named Tim, a father and son movie review podcast. Today's episode is a very special one. We are beginning season four, and with the beginning of season four, we got to take a look back, give out some awards for the best movie, the worst movie, the best movie poster, and the movie that we want some more of, whether it be a prequel, sequel, or remake. So we're going to go through a little trail down memory lane, and we're going to be talking about Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. So it's going to be a jam-packed action episode. Check us out on YouTube. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Check us out at podcastnamedtim.com. I think I hit all my marks. I'm Zach. Dad, how are you today? Good, sir.
Fantastic.
I'm glad to hear you're fantastic. Played a little golf this morning. Had one hole where it was beautiful. Everything was going right. The other 17, worst golf you've ever seen in your life. So, and the good news is that I was with people who kind of know what they're doing. And they were giving me lots of pointers, but that just made things worse because then I was just thinking, in the head. So, I did that. Started watching Cowboy Bebop, the animated show. Hope to have a review of that out on the YouTube channel when I'm finished watching that series. Also going to probably do some reviews of the new one that when that comes out on Netflix on November 19th. What have you been watching?
I watched Manchester United get their ass beat this morning, but by Manchester City. But as for movies and all, man, I went on a horror since we kind of had the whole Halloween thing with the Halloween Kills. I had plenty of time to watch horror movies, and I watched a ton of them. I watched Trick or Treat.
Mm-hmm.
It was all right.
Okay.
I watched Hellfest. Liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Watched Truth or Dare. Not the one with Lucy Hale, but another one. Really liked it. It was basically Final Destination, except for you can't get away with the truth of dare.
Got it.
Same premise. Watched The Strangers Part 2.
Oh, I didn't realize there was a second.
Yeah, Prey. It wasn't quite as creepy as the first one, but it still was pretty good.
Okay.
I think I watched some other low-end ones.
Okay.
Then, of course, I watched Flux.
Yeah.
Doctor Who.
Mm.
Back.
Mm-hmm.
Back for a new season. Watched Flux. Good. Good episode. Better than the other seasons. I liked it. Looks like we're going to do an eight-episode season with the first six all being involved with this Flux.
Okay.
So we've got a continuing story here that's going to go from week to week for the first six. We'll see where it goes. It was entertaining. We're doing a smart thing and bringing back characters that we already know and mixing them in with the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing in a few that know the Doctor, but we don't know how they know the Doctor yet. So that's
okay.
That's always good. If she just put down that goddamn sonic screwdriver. It's never out of her hands. She never has to dig for it. It's just always there, and she analyzes everything with it. That's not Doctor Who. Doctor Who is the smartest person in the room and knows. Now, yes, there are electronical things and stuff that they need to override or kind of see what it is, and that's fine, but she's just reading everything. It's just... It bogs it down and it kills her character.
Maybe I'm wrong about this, but I felt like when Tennant used it, it was normally a ploy to buy time.
Yeah, or, to unlock a mechanism or something. But it was a quick dig into the jacket, pop it out, put it back, done. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Hers, she has information on it. She is reading it. It's like what do you call those things on Star Trek? The little thing that they read all the time.
Like a tricorder?
Tricorder, thank you. It's like, stop reading everything. just know you're the doctor. You know this stuff. Now, it just, it's very distracting.
Okay.
Because you know that that's all she's going to do. It's like, well, okay, she's superior because she's got that. Not superior because
the doctor. Well, there may be some episodes where it gets taken. And she has
needs to be destroyed. She needs to, but she won't, she'll be stuck.
She has to learn how to survive without it.
She should already know because she said it. So that was my only problem with that, is they're still just relying on that way, way, way too much.
Okay.
Started you back, you know, something else in there, but I don't know what it was.
Well, big news. I can't really see it on my shirt, but James Madison University, the premier institution of higher education in the Commonwealth of Virginia, is officially making its jump to the Sun Belt Conference, announced today as we record this. Also, fuck the Colonial Athletic Association. You all are terrible. You don't like your student athletes. So everything you say is fake, and I don't want to hear it.
Speaking of fake athletes.
Yes.
Fuck Aaron Rodgers.
Here's my...
I'm not going to make it political.
It's just... I want to go back and listen to the whole interview. I haven't watched.
Do or don't.
That was my thing.
To allude that you are.
That was...
When you ain't.
That was my concern. Like, the people... There are people who don't and have been very forward about being not. And just... They didn't try to hide it. Just... Like you said, do or don't.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're stupid for not, but that's not much, especially when you're going to be, you know, if you're at home and can control your surroundings and you want to make that situation fine dandy. But a person that's traveling and playing football with that many other people and contact that other people, I don't know why you would want to even risk your job or your, you know, security and all that. But that's not the point. Again, do or don't, but yeah. Don't try to skip around the issue on this. This is not something that you can, you know.
Yeah.
I got stuck on a thread of TikTok last night that I guess the hashtag must have been Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers and all that. There's a lot of Green Bay fans not happy with him, and they were male. They were not who I thought was going to be fussing at.
And functionally, not even just from a health standpoint, from the most base level of football, as a fan or as a coach or as a teammate, we kind of need to know if you're going to be there or not. Like,
yeah. Well, that was the one guy. He was mad because his fantasy football team was screwed up now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, are you going to be here or not?
Messing with the man's money.
Gambling is legal now in the more states. There, you can bet over and unders on team wins earlier in the year. And if you misled,
sue that Joe Rogan guy. Dr. Joe Rogan, apparently, since he has the answers.
You know.
Hey, will JFK Jr. be vaccinated, or will he choose not to be
vaccinated? He's going to be a guest next week on the show.
Good.
So we'll get the answers there.
And Robin Williams and Michael Jackson, and I'm trying to think of who else they saw there. Who else was
there? Oh, I hadn't heard all these other ones.
Oh, that's right. I got the video to send you. The video I sent you, yeah. There's more before that. Yeah, they saw Robin Williams.
I heard it. Yeah.
And Michael Jackson showed up. He was supporting. There was a couple other. They're all deceased. That's what's so weird. So they can't actually come out and say, I wasn't there.
Maybe, you know, if I can plug a book that you worked on a number of years ago that I also kind of, you know, there was a zombie uprising that became a political movement where they took over the United States of America.
Right.
Maybe this is the beginning. Maybe you knew.
Hey, man. Maybe I should finish it and get it out there.
You should. Maybe you should.
Might be too late now.
Yeah.
School has really let us down, though. The more that you hear about things, you know, schools just don't. I never knew that Trump was General Patton's grandson, and I never knew that Benito Mussolini was General Patton's brother. Who would have known? I didn't know that.
No comment.
I don't know. It's a very confusing world we're living in today.
It is very confusing.
You know why? Because it's flat. And information can't flow around the globe like it should. It just goes and it falls off. So that if it doesn't go in your direction, you don't learn about it.
Valid point.
That's my hypotenuse.
Yes.
That's my hippopotamus.
Well, before we take another dive off, let's go ahead and get into these award winners. Cap off season 3 of this wonderful. This is the longest I have ever been committed to any hobby or thing. And I'm going to say we missed some weeks in
there. Hobby?
Job. I don't know, job. What do you describe it as? Thing.
This is a tool of information for the masses.
Yes.
We are doing the work that people like Q do. Like they spread information, we're spreading information.
One may be more accurate than the other.
And I'm not going to say which one, because
that's for you to find out.
That is for you to find out.
But we're going to start off with, you know what? Let's start with the best movie poster. You know, because whenever you see a movie poster, before we go into these, I guess we should take a quick moment to pause, you know, to hear a word from our sponsor. So we're going to get into the awards. Let's start with the best movie poster. As I was saying before, we were rudely interrupted by our sponsor. Got to pay the bills. You know, you see a movie poster, a lot of times you can, and I'm sure you probably know this more than I, you could go to a movie theater back in the day, not knowing what was showing, just take a look at the gallery of posters and go, that looks good, or that looks like crap, and judge a movie based on that idea alone. And movies sell it. So we had some nominees. I'm not going to say who nominated who. Well, actually, I will. You nominated Eat Local, The Island, that is the pirate movie, not the other island, Pilgrim. I nominated Wonder Woman 1984, The Cleaning Lady, and Prophecy. Before we announce the winner, is there anything you wanted to say, things you thought that I should have nominated, other things you were maybe thinking about, just in general the category, what you were thinking about? What did you like about these posters, if you want to highlight something?
No, not necessarily. I mean, the ones, like I said, the ones that I, the, well, I did, yeah, there was another one I really liked, but then when I looked at it, I was like, I guess that's a little too, Pilgrim. I like the Pilgrim.
Yeah.
It was simplistic, but sometimes I don't need every single, I don't like the posters that have every single cast member, every single character, every single little, I mean, maybe on the DVD box or the whatever later on after we know the story. But sometimes I just like to kind of think something's cool. And that's why I picked, I really like that Eat Local one the best. Because you could kind of see, okay, eat the fork and it looks like vampire teeth. Okay, this is kind of cool. It didn't tell me the whole story. It just
right. Well, Eat Local did win. It was our winner for season 3. It is the best movie poster according to these wonderful brains. The votes have been tabulated. We did an audit of the vote, so everything is set. I really want to highlight two of them that I nominated. Wonder Woman 1984, a terrible, terrible movie. But the movie poster sold me on what the movie, it was going to be very 80s. And just the colors of it, just I really like that.
It's like a peacock blew up.
and The Cleaning Lady. I 1,000% picked The Cleaning Lady because that movie poster and the delivery and the promise of what that could have been were very tantalizing. And I think horror movies in general, you know, they just they get their posters right more than anyone else. But Eat Locals or Eat Local, I know we were debating that, which I think we both enjoyed as a film. Was about British vampires who kind of had a syndicate going, and they had a little club, and they had like a meeting. They were having a quarterly meeting to figure out what was going on, making sure everyone was doing what they were supposed to be doing. So, an interesting concept. Something that was not nominated for the more movie category, but something I thought about nominating for that.
It was honorable mention off of my side.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess we'll go ahead and get into that. The general idea of when we came up with this category. Hollywood loves its remakes and its sequels and its prequels and its reboots. And so we decided that if Hollywood's going to use that as their marching orders for how to make films, let's at least offer some suggestions on something we would actually like to see. You nominated All the King's Men, Gunpowder Milkshake, which we both nominated, Willy's Wonderland. I nominated The Arena and Pulgasari. I just felt like we had to comment and say something about Pulgasari again, which was a North Korean film, a kaiju film, big giant monster. It felt wrong to not have it nominated for anything because it was just such a unique viewing experience.
And that's why I don't want any more of it.
That might be true. It was more just like I kind of want to see more movies from North Korea just for curiosity. The winner was Gunpowder Milkshake. I would be very shocked if they do not do another movie for it. Netflix, churns out a lot of movies, and I think they churn out a lot of sequels too. So, you nominated.
They got right on that one. They got right. There was definitely some wrong things they did with
it. Yes.
But I'm just hoping that they tighten it up a little bit. We don't have to go through so much story. We can just get right into these kick-ass women.
And more Giamatti.
And all the King's Men, because that was we wanted a reboot. I kind of wanted to see that brought up date and see what we could do with that. I think that could be an interesting. You see, what didn't make the list was Great Outdoors 2.
But oh yes, I saw that you shared that on our social media page.
Stop the madness! Stop right now.
Well, not to mention Home Alone, the new Home Alone movie, which looks
I mean, that's bad enough, but they've already killed that one anyway, so it's too late. Great Outdoors is one of those movies I've watched a million times. I know it word for word. There is no reason this many years later when one of the principal people in it are dead. We don't need it. We don't need definitely. And it's not a reboot. It's I guess Roman's going back to the
shore.
We don't need that at all.
Yes. Well, now we get into some of the fun stuff. The worst movies of the year. Notable films that have won this award include Bruce Lee and the Chinese Gods was the original title holder of this. May still be the worst film we've watched. I don't remember what won last year.
Slipstream?
I think Slipstream escaped. I think it was nominated. It was nominated, but I think it escaped. Our nominees this year, Bayou, the three were Robo Zombie, which of course was a bad I can't remember how they pronounce it again. The hopping vampire zombies. That was that.
Yes.
The Three Clones of Bruce Lee, so another Bruce Ploitation film. Eat My Dust, of course, starring Mr. Ron Howard and a Roger Corman film. I nominated the overly hyped and beloved by critics 8.5, which I think we both said was a mess that had no point, or it had some good shots. But it was more just, if you are going to say this is one of the greatest movies ever made, Just no. And then Belly of an Architect, which, yeah, not great. And then Zombies Have Fallen, which was we've recently watched and violated one of the core tenets of filmmaking, which is if you promise something like zombies, you must deliver. The winner. I guess before we get into it, what else? Is there something you want to say about any of those films?
This was one of the hardest things to pick because we watched a lot of shitty movies last year, apparently.
We did.
I was going through going, oh, my God, we watched that. Oh, God. It just kept getting worse and worse. I was like, we need to do better with the movie selection next year. Which some of the, you have to have some bad ones because those are, as we've discussed before, they're more fun to critique bad ones than good ones. Good ones are good, done, but... Yeah, there was. This was hard to break down because there was, and I can't think of now. There was, I think I had the long list to go from this one.
Well, Eat by Dust was the winner. It was bland. It was a comedy that was absent of comedy. it wasn't our bag. It wasn't anything we would have ever been interested in.
No, babe. Not in my bag.
You picked, I'm looking at the votes here, you picked The Three Clones of Bruce Lee as your number one rated worst movie of the year. What was it about that movie that just didn't work for you?
Well, nothing worked for me.
You didn't like the...
That I liked at all.
The idea's fun.
I mean, it didn't really make you. It just was bad. I don't have any reasons.
You don't like Bruce Exploitation, so.
I don't even like real Bruce Lee.
I'm not saying you don't like Exploitation. Well, we have one more category to highlight here, and that, of course, is the best movie of the year. Kind of an important category to have. I nominated Eraserhead and Rubber. You nominated There Will Be Blood and Hidden Figures, and we both nominated Good Will Hunting. Now, technically, in our voting, there was a tie for There Will Be Blood and Good Will Hunting, but since we both nominated Good Will Hunting, it seemed appropriate to give it to that. So Good Will Hunting is our winner for Best Movie of the Year. You know, any movie that can get you in the feels, it's right there. I was surprised. I was expecting you to nominate Rubber.
I wanted to.
Okay.
But I decided to try to not go with movies that I thought were great because knowing that it's, I tried to go for, that was a sellout. I sold out on this one.
Okay. You sold
out. I tried to up, you know, let's pick the real mainstream movies that I think, you know, I don't know how to describe it, but I didn't want to go for that.
You nominated There Will Be Blood, which I was surprised about because you seem to have some issues with the last 30 minutes of the movie.
I did, but I don't think it killed it, and I think the performance was good enough to where it got over that. Plus, I've also done a little rethinking about it.
Okay. I mean, it's a great film. It's great. Yeah. I mean, it was the same issue I had when I was looking at that because I was considering that, and I also considered The Hateful Eight, but they've both kind of fell in that category of, oh, that ending, those last little bit. And then there's one movie on here we need to talk about because it is probably one of your least favorite movies. Have you come around at all or thought about more Eraserhead?
No, because that guy that made that movie is the biggest piece of shit. I hate his stuff. I hate his movies. I don't like him. He's tortured me with this Dune shit.
To be a little sneak peek, we're going to be doing both Dune movies, the 1984 and the one that just released next week on the podcast, in the next episode.
But that's only half a movie.
It is what was theatrically released. But okay, so still have not come around on a race.
No, I'm just not a, it's just David Lynch is just, I don't know. The dude, we're not talking about dude. Eraserhead was just, yeah, just too out there for me to wrap my head around.
Okay. Well, those are our award winners again. Just to run through them real quick. Eat Locals was the best movie poster. Gunpowder Milkshake was the more movie category. Eat My Dust, worst movie. And the best movie of season three of A Podcast Named Tim, Good Will Hunting. I think that's a pretty good list of movies to put in the pantheon of winners.
Why not?
Okay. Well, with season three in the books, we got to start kicking off season four with what we're going to be doing with the beginning of every season until we run out, and then we'll figure out what to do from there. Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. It, of course, came out in 1986, has a 1 hour and 59-minute runtime PG rating, and was, of course, written and directed by Leonard Nimoy. I believe it's the second of the films he directed, the other one being Search for Spock. You all know who it stars. It stars everyone from the original cast and crew of the original, true, and only Star Trek franchise. This is the third kind of in the trilogy of the Khan trilogy, if you want to call it that. Khan, Search for Spock, and this is the final wrap-up of that series. It has a 7.3 on IMDb. An 82 on the audience, tomato meter, and 81 from the audience score. I had never seen. This is my first viewing of The Voyage Home, but I will let you go first. What did you think of your most recent watching?
I've always liked this movie. I had no problem with this one. I know a lot of people started going, it's sell out. No, it was like, it was actually the most like the original series of any of the three of this one. Khan was definitely like the original series, but this one was too, because they went to Earth a couple times in the other one. They had a little crossover. We did a little time travel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that they were, the Enterprise was really not in it. That was kind of cool that they had, you know, we were continuing on with the Bird of Prey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they saved the day. Is that simple? They figured it out. They saved the day.
It followed the Gene Roddenberry principle, which I believe is everything has to be okay at the end of the movie, at the end of the show.
You know, and it brought back the humor,
mm-hmm.
which I liked in Star Trek. They had a little bit of humor. It wasn't slapstick comedy, but it was just, well, you know, Spock cussing was hilarious.
Yes.
It just, I've never had a problem with
this one. I've never watched it because I always heard the premise. Oh, they're going to go save whales and they're going back in time. And I was always like, what? What are we doing here? I really enjoyed it. So far, of the four Star Trek films we have watched for the show, it's number two. And I loved the lightness of it and the fun of it. It was just a fun movie, and it was weird because I was watching it and I said, you know what? If you had any other group of actors and characters, this movie would be atrocious. They made it work because you knew who they were.
Computer,
double dumbass on you.
Computer.
Yeah, double dumbass on you was great.
Yes.
They were all
vessel.
Nuclear vessel and sending the Russian there. I mean, just all of the just it all worked. All of the bits worked in this.
I suppose you're from space. No, I'm from Iowa. I only work in space.
It just worked. You're right. It felt very much like an extended episode because they did have those episodes where they went back in time. I think the most famous being the one where they had to let the woman get hit by the car and die because it was kind of a fixed point. Right. If they didn't, then what was it, like Nazi Germany would have taken over or something like that?
That's a different one.
That's a different one? Okay.
I think so. I don't know.
It's been a while. I like that Gene Roddenberry was back kind of really consulting because I don't think he was in the last couple. And you can just tell. I think you could just...
And Harve Bennett was in there. So.
Yeah. There are... Yeah, I did not know it was a continuation of the trilogy. I thought this was just a completely separate movie years later. But maybe, and I am not a Star Trek fan in the sense that I don't know who, what, when, where, why this works and that works to the extent that I know with Star Wars. And I know you're never really a lore guy either, but maybe you can explain this to me. I always thought the Klingons were just like always the bad guys and never until Worf, I guess. But I didn't, it was very confusing to see them at the beginning of the movie as part of the Federation with like an ambassador and stuff. Cause I was like,
right.
I don't know. I didn't understand that.
Well, yeah, sometime in between we did make peace with them, set up the neutral zone and made somewhat of a peace agreement with them. And then their battle was more with the Romulans after that.
Okay.
But then, you know, it crossed over, of course, because we, of course, have to tiptoe into the neutral zone every time we turn around for one reason or another. But yeah, we did to finally make somewhat friends with them.
Mm.
Not friends.
Well, this movie came out at a unique time. But before I get to that, I also loved the idea of Spock still learning how to be Spock.
Right.
And who Spock was. And his feel, how do you feel? And
right.
And just all of that was just great.
Derek was in it.
And, you know, I like the fact that we didn't get an explanation of the probe.
Right.
It was there. Doesn't matter why.
Well, and I love the line that Spock says only humans would be so arrogant to think that they're talking to them. I mean.
Right.
Well, why has it got to be? Yeah. It had a message without being too preachy.
It was a little preachy.
It didn't bug me like some of them, because it was a legitimate thing here. This thing is going to destroy us because it's trying to talk to something that we've got rid of. So we need to think about it. But it didn't. I don't know. It didn't run the whole movie. I think they still had other things that they dealt with and fun things. It wasn't like that. So yes, it definitely had a message. Absolutely. And I believe that was actually one of Leonard Nimoy's, to do this, then help me write. Let me write this and let's have a little bit of a moment here.
Yeah.
But I just didn't think it was slap you in the face preachy like some movies can be. Not to me anyway.
It was, but it didn't bother me.
Okay.
Because I think it was necessary to the film.
Right.
But you know, I just think about like movies today. If they would have made something like this, I mean, we would have had this huge exploration and, we would have had to know who the probe is in a movie
right. today.
And why they were there.
Yeah, I didn't really want to know what it was saying and what it was doing and what it needed. It just needed,
that
was kind of cool. It just wanted to check on its friends.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, what's up? Maybe it owed some money.
And it wasn't trying to harm it. It wasn't trying to harm Earth. It just, its power, messed with ours. I thought it was good.
I thought it was good, but no, I was going to say this movie marked a unique point in time because this movie came out after the announcement that The Next Generation was going to be made and coming into existence. And I believe I read something where the call sign on the Enterprise at the end of the movie is actually, you know, the next version of the Enterprise. So this is, excuse me, we're beginning the transition to the next.
NCC-1701A.
Sure.
I think that's the Enterprise's number.
Sure.
Right? NCC-1701. It's original.
I thought it was NCS. NCSI.
NFT.
Yeah, so for an NFT. But yeah, I thought this was just a good film. Why, maybe you know this, why no Christy Alley?
Well, she wasn't in Search for Spock either.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I was going to ask you, why did she stay on Vulcan?
I don't remember. They explained.
He just said, this is goodbye. And
I think they did I did read about this. Here we go. I have it right here. There was a scene that was written, but deleted, to explain why Savick stays on Vulcan. She is pregnant with Spock's child.
Hold it now. I wonder why we never, I guess they decided not to, let's not even get into that.
Yeah. But yes, she was going to be.
That would actually been kind of cool for another movie. I'd like to have seen him as raising a child. That'd have been all right. It would have looked like Zachary Quinto.
It probably would have. But yeah, it's so yes, I remember reading that before you brought it up.
Well, that means, and Spock wrote that. So Leonard Nimoy wrote this. So, wonder why they decided that's the Oxbay Spay offspring. It's very interesting. So,
oh, wait, it actually says, okay, yeah, that I was making sure I got that all right. There was something else, but yeah.
So she was there for Spock's Amok time when he was growing up, and he threw her the pointed.
What happened? Sure. I don't know.
I need to know this backstory to this. You have told me something that I never heard and I didn't know, and that kind of made me. I'm gonna have to read up on this.
Yes. Now there was a famous movie star that was supposed to make an appearance in this movie.
Yeah.
Would you like to guess which famous 1980s movie star was supposed to be in it?
1980s movie star.
Yeah, when they went back in time.
Oh. Mel Gibson.
No. This gentleman did not make it into the film because Universal or Paramount did not want to commingle two of its bigger franchises. And so the star of Beverly Hills Cop and The Golden Child, one Eddie Murphy, did not make it in to Star Trek, but he was supposed to be in this.
What was he? I mean, he was going to be Eddie Murphy?
It says instead of Catherine Hicks.
Oh, he was going to be the scientist.
I guess.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't have been able to have that little cute little between Captain. No,
yeah.
I think it worked the way it is.
It would have been nice to have just Eddie Murphy as Eddie Murphy in an appearance. That would have been great. But yes, no. They didn't want to commingle their two big franchises. The two big stars.
You know George and why they're named George and Gracie, right? No George and Gracie, don't you? Or are you too young for that?
I am too young for that.
That's George Burns and Gracie Allen. You know George Burns.
Mm-hmm. I know the name, yes. The
old comedian. Well, his vaudeville wife and all was Gracie Allen. The one that always said, say goodnight, Gracie. And she always said, goodnight, Gracie.
Oh, okay.
That's where that joke comes from.
Grace, she died 30 years ago.
Well, yeah, that's a whole nother.
That's a whole nother bit. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this. And I'm going to be fascinated as we, a podcast named Tim, transition Because I believe the next, what, three films are kind of where we start to get the weird mixing of people and this and that. It's we're in the weird time where I've never watched any of these.
These are the ones that I've watched once.
Yeah.
I haven't really rewatched them at all, so I don't. What is the next one? What is?
Let's see. Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, and then 6 is The Undiscovered Country.
Now, see, I don't know what the difference is. One of them,
and then I think 7
is Spock's brother,
and then Generations is after that, right? And then I think
that's,
it's like
where we make contact. It goes back and shows where we made.
No, I think contact. First contact. I think that's First Contact.
Oh yeah. Now those I don't know all those.
Yeah, we're in that like, but we're in that weird like transition period of like we're gonna. So
I don't even remember if the other one seems like the other one starts pretty soon after this, though, doesn't it? Because they've got the new ship and they say. I don't know, it seems like they're out there seeing what it can do, and that's when they run into a problem. But I don't know. I can't remember the next one.
Yeah. So yeah, The Final Frontier is the next movie we will be watching at the beginning of season 5.
A year from now.
And that one is directed by one William Shatner and written by William
Shatner.
Yeah,
I knew this came up for some time, but I couldn't remember who had done what.
I think he did. Well, no, you know what? I think what's his name came back for Undiscovered Country? Nicholas Meyer, who directed Wrath of Khan. He came back to do that one. So
in this alternate universe of the Star Trek we're doing now, are we going to do a whale story? Have a different, maybe Spock's baby can show up in the alternate thing.
Maybe. Also, question, because time travel is a fun and weird thing, and there's been very few movies that have ever gotten it right. Basically, you know, the Back to the Future saga is the only one that truly, in my opinion, there's a comment in this film where Shatner is Scotty is teaching the guy about the transaluminum blah 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 blah.
And he says,
how do we know he didn't invent it? I assume this person did invent it, or things would have been off when they got back.
Maybe they're off.
I mean, yeah, that's another thing. It's like, just because, like I said, there is that one episode that I remember where it's like, we have to let this woman get hit by this car and die. And they made such a big deal about it in that one episode.
What's
and I'm
the
like,
prime directive? Directives. We're not supposed to mess with
inferior cultures. Does that count when you're going
humans? Absolutely. No, there's no bigger place than that counts.
Yes. Yeah. If I have one small criticism, I wish they would have built up the time travel. Like the how much it took. It seemed like they were just like, yeah, we're gonna have to travel back in time. All right, go really fast. Just like it is.
Yeah, like Spock, you whip that out at any old time.
Yeah, it seemed like it just kind of happened.
I didn't like, which I hardly ever like, the traveling through time thing. The little clay things coming up out of the thing was kind of cheesy, but
yeah, that was
very few things that they, when they do time travel, that I go, oh, that's really cool. So
I didn't get it.
It was a little artsy. It was trying to be clever, and it just was silly.
Yes.
But what do you do? What do you show during that? I don't know. I don't think you have to show anything. Just show a bunch of lights and boom done.
Yeah. Well, no, very good film. Really enjoyed it. We forgot to mention another great line, which was Shatner telling everyone to disperse and scatter because they looked like a bunch of cadets at a whatever it was. It was a great line, though.
Yeah.
All good.
He knew a little bit about the culture, though. He was. you know, which is, and he takes his glasses to, from the other movie, from Wrathicon to Self. That was a great little, you know. And why does he wear glasses and not go through the?
Because he's allergic to Retinox 5. No, don't try me, bitch. I actually watched a little Wrathicon the other day with, I put it on for the daughter. And that's about where we made it, which before she was like, yeah, I'm kind of done.
I'm trying to talk your younger brother, well, they're all younger, but trying to talk your brother, Alex, into watching the original series. It's very close. I'm close. I'm like, dude, you got to watch it. It's just, I mean, it's so ahead of its time, and so much science has come from Star Trek.
Absolutely. Well, I enjoyed this film. Good pick on us, I guess. We're gonna shut this episode down, and next episode we're gonna be talking about Dune, because the podcast must flow. And so we're going to talk about both the 2021 and 1984 Dune. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss it. See you all next time on A Podcast Named Tim.